It's quarter number three on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Time to Ask Ross. This week's Ask Ross segment is brought to you by the 409 Tailgate Club. For the best gifts for the tailgater in your life, go to 409tailgateclub.com. And always remember, tailgate with honor.
Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, and you are about to enjoy the Ask Ross segment brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. Guest question answer this week provided by Bob Flounder, since Ross Tucker's not here. I've got your questions. Are you ready, Bob?
I think I'm ready. After the news of this week, I think I'm ready, but I'm still in recovery from the news.
From the Tommy Stevens news.
I'm still in recovery, but I'm going to give it my best shot.
So there are your questions, and don't forget the question that Bob chooses as the number one question this week will receive a tailgate box courtesy of 409.
So you guys know, I'm not going to tease anyone and then pull the rug out from under them like Ross has done the last 2 weeks. Those poor people that had it and then didn't have it.
What was it?
Ross, how do you?
Kevin in Unityville.
Jeez,
did you have the rug pulled out from under you? Bob says he won't do that. So in the tailgate box, you'll get some various 409tailgateclub.com rubs and sauces and a tailgate with honor apron. All right, question number one, Mr. Flounders, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Bob, what is your biggest specific concern about the upcoming 2018 team? I.e., is it run offense, run defense, pass offense, best defense, special teams, etc.? Then what is the area of least concern for you?
Okay, I think we've had versions of this question, but maybe it hasn't been phrased like that. I do think that we've been talking about it for a while. For Penn State to really arrive, they're going to have impact defensive tackles.
Right.
So it's twofold there. The guys that they have are starters, are good players, Kevin Givens and Robert Windsor. But A, they don't have their depth guys identified. But those guys are not guys that are going to – I don't think they're capable of taking over the game or changing the game in the second half of a close game. So to me, I think Penn State still has some work to do there.
Okay.
I really do.
That is your biggest area of concern.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's
the area that you feel most?
I feel pretty good about quarterback now.
Oh, duh.
Way
to jump out on the high dive there, Bob.
I'll tell you that the better question would have been, what surprising area on the team? So in other words, what is an area you feel really good about that maybe most people would not feel good
about? What is an unexpected right now that you think is going to be a strength and a well-known commodity?
Yeah.
And that would be?
Cornerback.
John Reed's back.
Cornerback. But you got
to – Tariq
Castro have more than two. Yeah.
Amani Oriarie.
Yeah. Cornerback. John Reed's back. They lost two starters.
Yeah.
So it's cornerback, because I think Tariq Castro Fields is the real deal.
Yeah, and I think if your third corner's number 21, Amani.
Well, I think Amani starts, but I think
Amani starts over Tariq?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, but it's he's being fast.
Tariq's a stud.
Yeah, so that's the area of the team. I mean, usually when you lose all four starters from your defensive backfield, it's
it's like red alarm.
Yeah, safety to me is the behind defensive tackle, safety, linebacker. It's all those. But I think that corner by the end of the season, if they're healthy, it's going to be a really, really good corner room.
All right, let's go to Ethan in Westchester, New York. Hey, Ross, thanks for hosting this segment. There you go. He's not even hearing it. I'm getting tossed under the bus. Love the show. My question is, Penn State starting defensive tackles are going to be 280 and 275 pounds. I'm not asking you what you think. I'm asking you. With only one DT in the rotation, probably over 300. Do you see this as being an issue, or are there things they can do schematically, you think, to mask this?
Yeah. Tell you, I do think so. I'm a little – one thing that – has to be asked that will be asked of James is, why did Robert Windsor drop 20 pounds? If he is really 280 pounds, I think he played at 303 last year.
He did?
That's a little curious to me. So we'll see what the answer is to that. I know that Fred Hansard is a guy that's 315,
mm-hmm.
and maybe he is a guy that's going to figure in. I don't know if he's a three or a one at this point. It's probably a question for Sean Spencer. But, you know, there's not – the way the game's played – anymore, you just don't see a lot of teams running the ball 40 times a game. You're only going to see, if you see Wisconsin, you're going to see them in the Big Ten title game. You know, it's about even Ohio State, the quarterback runs. So it's more about having athletes at linebacker and D end. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons why Penn State's defense, I think, can survive. They can also move Buchholz
inside
to tackle. And he's a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
I would say that could probably happen. So even though defensive tackle is a concern, when I'd say that, it's because of the pass rush.
Right.
And that's why they're moving ends inside. But I do think that if you have the athletes at end and outside linebacker, and now middle linebacker with Micah, I think you can kind of get around the issue that maybe Penn State has right now at tackle.
Don't forget about Ellis Brooks. You're listening to the Keystone Kickoff Show, and this Ask Ross segment is being brought to you by 409tailgateclub.com. That's 409tailgateclub.com. Check out the guys there. They got great sauces and rubs. If you need some catering done, don't be shy about having them cook up some Q for you. It is really, really good. All right, continuing with your question, Lindsay in McCandless, Pennsylvania, McCandless. No idea. Hey, Bob, big fan. As someone who has never been to an away Penn State football game, can you make a recommendation of a good away game to go to? What is your favorite place to see Penn State play outside of Beaver Stadium? I figured this one was right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah, so in the Big Ten, it's for me, it's Madison, Wisconsin. I think that's it. That I would recommend that trip to anyone. Whenever Penn State, I think Wisconsin comes in this year. When they play at Wisconsin, that's the trip you want to take.
So you have time to plan for it.
Yeah, Nebraska is another trip I think that would be well worth your while, just because of the reception. They really, really welcome in.
They do.
The opposing team and the opposing fans. It's not the biggest city, but it is a friendly city. That's up there. It would be those two. I mean, Ann Arbor's okay. Columbus is okay.
Worst one? What's the worst one to go to?
Just in terms of atmosphere and things to do, you know, the two Indiana trips are not great. If you're in the town, if you're in Bloomington or you're in West Lafayette, West Lafayette's Purdue, Bloomington is Indiana. It's a little dicey. But if you're staying in Indianapolis and driving into the game because it's not that far, right. Indianapolis has become a pretty fun city. I would definitely say I would go all in on. Also, Rutgers is way down. I would go all in on Madison, Wisconsin.
All right, let's go to Mitch in Dresser, Pennsylvania. That's in Montgomery County. Thank you, Mitch, for helping us geographically. he said, Bob, I would like to follow up on a Ross comment from a recent episode that position coaches matter. How much of a concern should it be that the three new offensive position coaches are also new to this system? Is there a long learning curve for coaches in terms of picking up technique, assignments of the system? And should we expect some bumps in the road with three new coaches learning from a first-time OC?
I think it helps that Ricky Ronnie played quarterback, coached the tight ends. Now he's the offensive coordinator. I think they're going to miss Josh Gattis. There's no question.
Oh, I think that's
– And yeah, I think that's I the guy of the losses. Obviously, Joe Moorhead is a huge loss as well. Those are the two guys they're going to miss. I think Matt Limegrover and the offensive line are in pretty good shape. I never could really get a sense for Charles Huff and his role in Barkley's development. Like, I couldn't – you know, he was pretty – supremely talented person, and you know that you know that Joe Moorhead was working with him. So I can't really assess the value of what it means to be a really good running backs coach.
Right.
But it probably is important this year because I think there is a task to get Miles Sanders a little bit better and a little bit more prepared than he is, because he's got to get ready for a different kind of role.
Right.
You go from understudy to leading person. I think of all the changes, it's the running backs coach, and his work with Miles Sanders is probably one of the bigger deals, I think, this offseason.
Yeah, Coach Sider came from Florida, spent some time in West Virginia. I think he's the bullseye for the individual coaching one-on-one when you're looking at talent development, because Miles Sanders is talented. Now it's about talent development. That one-on-one relationship and how he progresses, and you can see when you see on the field, you know, his measurable coaching stuff, that's going to be the one that's probably going to come out to be the most Most important, it's the one I'm going to be. It's the one I'm going to be paying attention to. So, all right, let's keep moving on. Let's go to Mike in Harrisburg. He says, "Has Penn State had two preseason Heisman candidates in a row before that you can remember?" Love the show and everybody involved.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Because, you know, Larry Johnson was not a Heisman candidate at the start of 2002 because he was really – I think Joe used two or three running backs in 2001. They had like – I forget who it was. But he was – he. If you look at what he did, he was more of an impact guy as a return guy almost than as a runner. I don't know that that's happened. I don't know if Kurt – so – 94, they had the three-headed monster and Carey and all those receivers and Kajana. But it took a little while for Curtis Enos to get developed. So I think that's probably right. I don't know that they've ever had back-to-back years with a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Preseason.
And I say that meaning I do consider Trace to be a legitimate contender.
Oh, my gosh, he's absolutely –
yeah,
a legitimate Heisman. Are there three better quarterbacks? And the Heisman
one of,
is
a one of the reasons for that is the change in offensive philosophy. So I mean, if you, a Heisman winner is almost always going to, or a contender is almost always going to be a quarterback who can impact the game, with his mobility. And Penn State's offense has only been this way since 2016.
Yeah,
but I mean, this is the idea. Like you should, if you recruit well, your running back and your quarterback should be like, that's how it is at Ohio State. If the things are going well, that, by the way, that Ohio State running back is on my short list, a short list of Heisman contenders this year.
He's a stud. All right. One more before
J.K.
we get
Dobbins?
Out. Yeah. Jerry in Arlington, Texas asked, the number one knock on Saquon Barkley not being first or second draft pick overall is that he's more of a home run hitter than a workhorse running back. Do you agree with this evaluation, or was it more a reflection of the Penn State offense and more specifically the offensive line and the type of running back that he will be in the NFL?
I think it's a good question. I think it's more of a reflection of Penn State's offense.
I agree.
Saquon has never played with a fullback.
Yeah.
He's never played with a fullback, and it took Trace and Saquon a little while to get that mesh thing that first year. He would stop and start.
Right.
You know, and that split second is a big deal. I think Saquon Barkley can work in any offense, and I don't know that we've seen the best version of him because of the offense he played at Penn State.
All right, who's your winner? I got six of them here for you.
Yeah.
For me, the
best question was the one about Penn State in back-to-back years with Heisman Trophy contenders.
All right, that's Mike in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Congratulations. You win the tailgate box. All right, that'll do it for quarter number three. Coming up, make the case.
Mm-hmm.
Bob and I are going to make it. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.
160,000 miles. That's on average how often you'll use your car insurance. But what if you could get help with more often? Maybe save a couple of bucks on clothes or at restaurants. What if you could even get rescued roadside when a tire goes flat or your battery dies? You can, when you're a member and your auto insurance is AAA. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about how AAA works at every mile.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.